Tov, so today is a very special day. It's Yud B'Tevet. Yud B'Tevet is the 10th day of the month of Tevet. It's a day that was decided by our sages that will become a fast day. And unfortunately, some days of the year are very ignored and they're not really taught about it. I mean, if you ask now an average Jew, what's Asara B'Tevet? They don't know. And I'm not Chas V'Shalom saying it in a way to Chas V'Shalom hurt anyone, but it's just the day like seems to be completely ignored. And even though a lot of people fast on the day, they don't know why the actual fasting. Why we're fasting? And what really happened on that day? And why is it such a special day? So, Bezrat Hashem today we'll talk a little bit about what's the concept of today, why is that such an auspicious day, and what can be achieved on this day. And the story says that in the first Beit HaMikdash, in the first temple, a certain individual called Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babel. He came and he sieged Yerushalayim. I don't know if that's the right word, but he put a siege around Yerushalayim. And that happened on Asara B'Tevet, which from that siege, 3.5 years later, they finally broke the siege and they attack Yerushalayim and they destroyed the Beit HaMikdash, the first holy temple. So the simple explanation of what happened on that day is that that's the day that the siege started. And 3.5 years later, when they destroyed the Beit HaMikdash, so therefore, this is the day that it all started, so we fast for that. So this is a very on-the-surface explanation of what happened that day. But we want to talk a little bit more in depth what happened on that day and why our sages decided to do a fast on that day. Because we have a few fasts throughout the year. The famous one, of course, is Yom Kippur, and that's a fast that was instructed by the Torah to fast. But after that, we have a few more fasts. We have the fast, what's called Tzom Gedalia, and that's 2 days after Yom Rosh Hashanah. And then we have the 10th of Tevet. And then we have the fast of Esther on the 13th day of Adar. And we have another fast on Yud Zayin Betamuz. And we have, of course, another famous fast, which is Tisha B'Av. These are the fasts that we fast throughout the year. And they have different meanings to them, because the fasts of Tzom Gedalia, the 10th of Tevet, Yud Zayin B'Tamuz, and Tisha B'Av are fasts that happened something in the past, something bad in the past. But for example, the fast of Yom Kippur is a good fast. It's a fast that our sins, as a result, will be removed. That's something positive. It's not something negative. And it's also fasting for something that can happen in the future. The fast of Esther is kind of in between, because it's something that happened in the past, but something positive that happened. So we're not going to concentrate on that fast right now. Since Purim is approaching, we will start learning a lot about Purim, like we did the last 3 weeks before Hanukkah, that we had a lot of classes about Hanukkah. And in a month, Bezrat Hashem will start learning a lot about Purim. So at the time, we'll learn about the fast of Esther. But all the other fasts are something bad happened in the past, and we're commemorating that bad situation that happened in the past, and of course we don't want it to repeat. But if we compare the other fasts to the main one, which is Yom Kippur is a positive fast, and we want to fast because it cleans us, it cleanses our soul, we get forgiven, and then we fast for something that will happen in the future. Now, there are two types of fasts in halakha. One group of fasts in halakha that they're not more powerful than Shabbat. Meaning that if Yom Tisha B'Av or Yud Zayin B'Tamuz or any other of the fasts besides Yom Kippur, if they fall on Shabbat, then the fast gets pushed. And that's including the fast of Esther. If Yom Kippur falls on Shabbat, we fast on Shabbat. We're not allowed to fast on Shabbat. But if Yom Kippur happens to fall on Shabbat, then we fast. And all the rest of the fasts, besides Yom Kippur and Asara Betevet today, if they fall on Shabbat, then the terminology is that the fast lo doche Shabbat, it means it's not more powerful than Shabbat, and the fast has to be delayed. If you remember a few months ago on the fast of Tisha B'Av, then the fast Tisha B'Av fell on Shabbat, so we fasted on Asara on the 10th of Av, and it was Sunday. That's what happened a few months ago. Which means that Shabbat is more powerful and the fast has to be delayed. The only time when we don't delay the fast is Yom Kippur. Also, Asara B'Tevet, the fast of today, it does not push Shabbat away.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you can do it on Shabbat and with fast?
The miracle is that Asara B'Tevet never falls on Shabbat.
Oh, okay.
It never happened.
Okay, yeah.
But if should be that Asara B'Tevet should fall on Shabbat, then we would fast on Shabbat.
And
so we're going to talk about it. But there's another fast that also is fasted on Shabbat. And this is called Ta'anit Chalom. If somebody, Chas V'Shalom, had a very bad dream, then he can fast, and the power of the fast can actually annul the negativity of the dream. Because if Chas V'Shalom, I had a dream that has a very negative message, somebody died, something very bad happened, then I'm allowed to fast, and with the power of the fast, it will break this bad dream, so to say. This is called Ta'anit Chalom, fasting after a dream. According to Halakha, if I had a very bad dream Friday morning, I mean, I slept between Thursday and Friday, and I woke up Friday morning and I had a very bad dream, I'm allowed to fast on Shabbat. Now Shabbat, you're not allowed to fast. Shabbat is an auspicious time. Shabbat is a time that we celebrate, we eat, we gather all the family together. It's not time for fasting. But in this particular case, I'm allowed to fast on Shabbat for Ta'anit Chalom. Now comes a big question. On Yom Kippur, I understand, because I'm fasting for something that will happen in the future that can cancel something bad, so to say. Same thing with Ta'anit Chalom. Ta'anit Chalom, I'm allowed to fast on Shabbat because it's, so to say, canceling something bad that can happen, that potential to happen. All the other fasts, Tisha B'Av, Yuzayin B'Temuz, Tzom Gedalia, Ta'anit Esther, all these fasts is something that happened in the past, cannot be changed. It happened already. Then, you're not allowed to fast on Shabbat. But on Asara B'Tevet, today, if it would fall on Shabbat, we would have to fast on Shabbat. But seemingly, it's something that happened in the past. How come? Now, there's another time that was a very similar situation about a certain individual. His name was Nahu. He was the king of Egypt, and he also sieged Jerusalem. He didn't make a fast out of that. And there was many other situations that were just as bad, and they didn't make a fast out of that. So just from that, we learn that on Asara B'Tevet, on the 10th of Tevet, is a very special day. Yes, the siege started, that resulted later on in a destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash. This is a serious thing. But we learn from that that it's a very auspicious time. Now, on Asara B'Tevet, something happened. Asara B'Tevet is the 10th of Tevet, it's today. Something special happened that was different than many other of the times. On Asara B'Tevet, the heavenly court, they gathered together and they wanted to see and to give an opportunity, so to say, for the Jews to do tshuva. And they said, let's see what happens. Nothing happened on Asara B'Tevet. There wasn't any war. There wasn't any killing. There wasn't any destruction. Just the army showed up. They woke up in the morning. They opened the window. What? To see an army surrounding Yerushalayim. On that day, the heavenly court gathered together a cabinet meeting. And they said, okay, let's see what they're going to do. Let's see if they're going to do tshuva. And if they're going to do tshuva, then the siege will be removed. And if they don't do tshuva, let's see what's going to happen on Tisha B'Av. Now Tisha B'Av was already a bad day for the Jews way before the time of the Holy Temple. I mean, the first time in Tisha B'Av is when the tablets were broken, the golden calf. Many other things happened on Tisha B'Av way before the building of the Beit HaMikdash. Of course, we know the first temple and the second temple both got destroyed on Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is we known as a very bad day. That day belongs to the Samech Mem. He has control over that day. That's why many, many bad things happened to the Jews on that day. But on the day of the 10th of Tevet, the heavenly court sat together and they're like, okay, let's see what's going to happen. Let's give them an opportunity. And if they do tshuva, then the siege and the decree will be annulled. And if they chas v'shalom don't do tshuva, then we'll see what's going to happen. And they went through 3 years like that, because the siege was 3.5 years. The first Yasara B'Tevet, the heavenly court got together and they're like, okay, let's see what they're going to do. They waited. Okay, they said, okay, you know what, let's give them another year chance. And in that year there was a siege. Came the next Asara B'Tevet, and they're like, okay, let's see if today they're going to do tshuva. After 3 years that they gave them the opportunity to do tshuva, they did not do tshuva. And then they said, okay, now has to come the destruction. That's why on Tisha B'Av, the first holy temple was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel. He came and he destroyed the walls, entered in Yerushalayim, and burnt the Beit HaMikdash down. Which just in itself, it's a day of mourning, because we lost the Holy Temple. We don't even know what it means to us to lose the Holy Temple, because we never saw it. If we would see the Holy Temple and then to lose it, then we would really have some type of a feeling, what does it mean? Now, the difference between all the other fasts and this specifically day is that every year on Asara B'Tevet, the heavenly court gathers again together to see if we did tshuva or not. Now, of course, the second Beit HaMikdash already was destroyed. Now we don't have a holy temple. But every year on the 10th of Tevet, there's a cabinet meeting. Lehavdil Elef Avdalot, like the United Nations, they all gather together. Here the heavenly court is gathered together to see if we will do tshuva, if we did tshuva, and what's going to happen on the coming Tisha B'Av. Is the holy temple will stay destroyed, or if it's going to get rebuilt? This is the day that is decided in Shamayim, what's going to happen for the next coming year. So it seems like in the last hundreds of years, more to be exact, almost 2,000 years, every time on Asara B'Tevet, we did not do the appropriate tshuva, that the heavenly court decided that the temple will stay destroyed, and we're not going to be redeemed, and then a whole year goes back again and gap again and back again. Every year that's what happens on this day. So not only that we were commemorating the siege that happened that later on resulted in the destruction of the temple, rather today as we speak there's a meeting in Shamayim in the heavens, if our tshuva is good enough for us to receive the redemption, which means that today we have the opportunity to change something in the heavens, that this coming year in Tisha B'Av, it says that the days will become days of Simcha. Yafchu yamei elu leyamei Simcha. Now every Tisha B'Av in the last couple hundred years, close to 2,000 years, obviously the decision was that the situation will stay the same, that we don't have Beit HaMikdash, and Tisha B'Av is remaining a day of mourning. But today we have the ability, with our fasts, with our prayers, with our tshuva, with our actions, to influence, so to say, the heavenly court, that this coming Tisha B'Av will be a day of Simcha. When exactly? They don't tell us. But that's the day that it could be done. That's how auspicious this day is, to a point that if chas, that if not chas, if you, the 10th of Tevet would fall on Shabbat, we would fast on Shabbat. Because we're fasting on something that can happen in the future, not something that happened in the past. And that's how powerful this day is. And it's so powerful that the Yetzer Hara makes it that everybody's like, okay, it's just another day. to a point that on Yom Kippur, if chas v'shalom, a person is sick, he still has to fast. Only if a person is in a life danger situation, he's allowed to stop the fast on Yom Kippur. But on Yom Kippur, if a person just has a sore throat or a fever, he has to fast. And on the other holidays, if a person has a sickness, but is not in life-dangering sickness, he's exempt from the fast. A woman that is pregnant, a woman that is breastfeeding, a woman that just gave birth, is exempt from the fast on these fasts, because there's no life danger. So people tend to be like, okay, you know, it's not such an important fast, let me just skip it. But the truth is that the 10th of Tevet is equivalent, so to say, in the power of Yom Kippur, of what can be achieved in the future, not in the past, not to forgive my sins, but I can now influence the decision of the heavenly court if this year we're going to have Beit HaMikdash or not. And that's how powerful this day is. This is the day that one needs to do tshuva. This is the day that we need to reflect, and not to look necessarily in my domain. What do I need to do tshuva for? We spoke about it now, just the class before, that I have to do tshuva. Today is a very special tshuva that I have to do. Because the first Beit HaMikdash was destroyed from three sins: idol worship, bloodshed, and forbidden relations. That's why the Beit HaMikdash, the Holy Temple, was destroyed. Shefichut damim, avodah zarah v'gilui arayot. Since the sin was revealed, then the length of the exile was revealed. When they went out to exile, the prophet told them, you're going to be in exile for 70 years. And sure enough, 67 years later, happened the story with Purim. 3 years later, they came back to Eretz Israel. The exile finished. The second Beit HaMikdash was destroyed from one sin. And that's called Sinat Chinam. Hating somebody for no reason. Since the sin is not revealed, then the length of the exile is not revealed. And a lot of people question, what does it mean the sin is not revealed? So if chas v'shalom I do now idol worship, or I do bloodshed, or I have a forbidden relation, it's out in the obvious. I mean, you don't have it in the street, but it's an obvious act. Sinat chinam, hating somebody for no reason, it's in the depth of my heart. Nobody can see it. I can now smile to you and be your best friend and compliment you and you wow, and in my heart, hate you. Hate you to a point that I can't stand you. This is sinat chinam, for no reason. And even if I have a good reason, I still am not obligated in hating you. I'm obligated not to hate you. We spoke about it last week in the class about the Rivli Parsha. You're not allowed to hate a person. You have to forgive that person. Doesn't matter what they did, because it came from the Kadosh Baruch Hu, not from that person. That person is a shliach, is an emissary. If I'm hating a certain individual because he did something to me, I'm now sinning. This is a severe sin. I'm not allowed to hate that person. It's me now going against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I do not believe that it's the Kadosh Baruch Hu that sent me that person to do that thing to me, and I'm hating that individual. The chutzpah, when you're thinking of it. So the tshuva that I need to do today, and I have to do it every day, but today is the day, is the tshuva for sinat chinam. And this is why we're still in exile. You asked before, I mean, I gave you my theory. I believe that we are in exile only because of sinat chinam. And to take it to more of a personal note, in my personal near-death experience, when I was revealed many, many things in Shamayim, what was the most obvious, why we're not redeemed it, is only because sinat chinam. It's like as if I saw the damage in Shamayim because our problems in this world. And they say, when there is a separation in the world below, there's going to be a separation in the world above. כשיש פירוד בתחתונים, יש פירוד בעליונים. And I saw, in my experience, how the pirud, the separation in the world below, is causing the separation in the world above. And that's the only thing that causes sorrow to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't cause sorrow to the Kadosh Baruch Hu when I don't pray in a minyan, or if I lie, or if I cheat. He knows, he sends the Yetzer Hara. What causes the sadness and sorrow to the Kadosh Baruch Hu is that I hate another person because he did something to me. Or even worse, if he didn't do anything to me. Yeah, or whatever. Sinat chinam. Sinat chinam has many branches. Sinat chinam is not just me hating you for whatever reason. Sinat chinam is a trunk, and from the trunk has many, many branches. Anafim. Sinat chinam is many, many different categories. But the point is that this is my personal belief. Why we're still in exile? Because we did not correct the sin of Sinat Chinam. There's not enough Avat Israel. There's not enough of it. Even though there's a lot of charity going on, and a lot of movement and awareness, and it's not enough. Because each one of us has to do their own Cheshbon Nefesh, and each and every one of us, if they find one dust of Sinat Chinam to another Jew, then he's holding responsibility. And this is the tshuva we need to do. Not today, we're not doing tshuva if I stole, if I didn't steal, or if I lied, or if I didn't do a certain mitzvah. Today the tshuva I need to focus on is how much sinat chinam I have towards another person. How many people am I hating? How many people I really am not liking or I dislike because they said something, or because they did something, or whatever. And our sages say, Ezu ashir asameach bechelko. Who is a rich person who is happy in his portion? But the more right way to analyze it is Ezu Ashir Hasameach Bechelko Shel Chavero. Who is the right, the rich person? Who's the one who's happy in the portion of his friend? Not his own portion. That's one level. But the real level that I need to strive for is the level that I'm happy with the portion of my friend. Not to be jealous of my friend because he has a nicer home than me. And not to be jealous of my friend because his wife is more pretty. Or to be jealous of another individual because he's more successful. Or he's more wiser than me. And I'm learning in yeshiva for 10 years and I don't know nothing. And this guy came and after 1 month he knows the Torah inside out. And there are so many ways, so many examples. I'm giving a few out of many. The reality is that most people, they hate another individual. Not right now because he did something to them. Because he's better. He's more successful. He's more attractive. He's more whatever. This jealousy. This jealousy that people cannot handle. And it says, Rekev kinah, it's like the jealousy makes your bones rot. And this is the sinat chinam. There's one category of sinat chinam that a person did something to me and I hate him. Even if I have a good reason to hate him, that person really hurt me. Then we talked about it last week, and if you weren't here, watch the video of last week's Parsha where I'm talking about that Hashem sent that person. We have no right to be upset at that person. And if I'm holding grudge to a certain individual because he did something to me, then I'm fooling myself and I'm going completely against Hashem, not believing that Hashem sent that person. The fact that that person was chosen to be the Shaliach, that's a whole different thing. I have to forgive that person 100% because that person was just used as a Shaliach, as a stick to hit me. When I'm going to get upset at the stick, I have to get upset at the one who hits with the stick. But that's one type of Sinat Chinam. The real Sinat Chinam that we unfortunately all suffer from is that I hate somebody because he's better than me. Either he's better than me in business, either he's more successful than me in anything that he does, he's more wiser than me, he's more learned than me, more people like him than me, whatever. This boils down to this jealousy, that person is better than me. And that's the root of the sinat chinam. And that's why I want to take the advice of my sages that says, Ezu Ashir Hasameach Bechelko Shel Chavero, that I'm happy that you have a lot of money. Bezrat Hashem, you should have even more money. And I'm happy your wife is beautiful. And I'm happy you're smart. And I'm happy you're successful. The fact that I'm not happy for somebody because they do something better than me, this is the Sinat Chinam. And unfortunately, we meet it every day. And I have to come to my own realization if I'm possessing this Sinat Chinam. And you know, I'm going to go a little bit to a more personal level. And Baruch Hashem, we have here a beautiful center. that with blood and tears and sweat took to bring this place. People think that we just came and found a piece of real estate. This is 8 years of hard work that people think that they deserve some credit to it. Whatever, whoever deserves credit, there are a lot of people who are involved, and whoever deserves credit gets the credit. But people see a very external thing. They see somebody coming and opening a place, and with that, and I already told my wife, wait till we open the doors and you'll see who's your real friends, and who's happy for you, and there's a word in Hebrew, it's called lefargen, I don't even know how you say it in English, is to
envious?
Excuse me?
Envious?
No, lefargen is to be really happy for somebody and to tell him, I'm very happy for your success, but honestly. And I told my wife, just wait for the day this door is going to be open and you're really going to see the true colors of everybody who's happy for you and who's jealous of you and who's upset of you and who's... And sure enough, the day came that the right people showed, everybody showed the right colors. Who was really happy? Who was angry? Who was upset? Who was jealous? Who went against? And you see here a group of individuals that are coming to do something good, something to help the community, with hard work. This is not something that just came from Shamayim. This is years of hard work, years of planning, and unfortunately you see people that they have inside in the depth of their neshama this jealousy, that why did they come and do something that I would wanted to do? How come somebody else is more successful than me? Why is this working out like this and like that? And I don't want to get into too much of it because I don't like emphasizing negative things. But it's a time to give an example of you see how a person can be successful himself and have still hate to another person that did not do anything toward them just because it's, you know, I didn't do nothing here. I'm not taking any credit. It's only the bracha of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm the axe, the garzen be'ad ha-chotzev, the axe in the hand of the wood chopper. I don't do anything. I follow instructions from above. I do what Hashem wants me to do, and that's it. And the success is the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Failures are the Kadosh Baruch Hu and success are the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I don't attribute any success to myself. I just do what I need to do. And I do it for the sake of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But unfortunately, and I'm just giving one example on a man, and I'm giving this example because you all hear local and it's nogea to us, that you see that people that have this sting, like a kotz, like a, how do you say a kotz, like a thorn, stuck in the depth of the neshama, and they cannot stand to see somebody else doing something good. And go figure out why. And that's sinat chinam. Not that I came and I did something to you. That's, I can somehow even understand. You have a reason. But unfortunately, we experience in many situations, I'm giving my example, I bet you that each and every one of you can now raise their hand and give their own example. Wow, they didn't do anything, and they just did what they're supposed to do, and somebody else came and... I don't like it. Why you? Why you? And that's the Sinat Chinam, and that's why the temple was destroyed. Because even the sages that were in such a high level, they also had, at the time of the students of Rabbi Akiva, what, they will have Sinat Chinam? Their Sinat Chinam was like, why did you come with the Chidush and not me? I'm very learned. How could I not figure out this unbelievable depth in the Torah? And you had to do it. And unfortunately, we all have it. We all have it in some type of way. I have to recognize it in myself. And if I don't recognize it in myself, then I'm failing. I'm taking part of it. And it's very easy to say, no, I like everybody and I accept everybody and I'm good with everybody. It's very easy to say that. But you have to do your own cheshbon nefesh. That's why we fast now. Fast is because I'm, so to say, torturing myself. I'm not comfortable right now. I'm hungry. I want to drink a cup of coffee. I'm starving. I need nothing from the morning. It's 1 o'clock already. I'm hungry. So I'm not in a comfortable place. This is not to torture me. This is to come make me realize, wait a minute. I have to now look in the depth of my neshama and take responsibility, and not to be selfish and not to be self-centered and not to be superficial and not to be like, oh, the whole world owes me something. No, the world doesn't owe you anything. And the point is that I need to be honest with myself and I have to be true to myself. That's what the Kadosh Baruch Hu is looking at. That's right now, the heavenly court are sitting down up there and they're looking down and they want to see if we're really true to ourselves. If we deserve to get the Beit HaMikdash. And oy va'avoy, if this year we're not going to be deserving that. If we're going to get another Tisha B'Av without Beit HaMikdash, our situation is not going to be that great. So it means that each and every one of us has to look in me and to see, do I have this hate or resentment to somebody because they're better than me? So what if they're better than me? I'm good in what I'm doing. I have this talent and everybody else has a different talent. And the world was created in a way that everybody has their own thing, their own shlichut. I have to concentrate on my shlichut in the world. And I read a very interesting letter from the Lubavitcher Rebbe of a certain individual, a certain family. And it was a very long letter. I'm not going to get into all the details, but it was asking, the family had a special need child. And they were asking the Rebbe if the child should, you know, how to behave with the child. And the Rebbe was very firm, saying, even though the child is challenged in a mental way, he still has to do mitzvot. He still has to give tzedakah. Even if it's hard for him, then hold the hand and make him put the tzedakah. He still has to wear tzitzit. He still has to keep kosher. He still has to keep Shabbat. So what if the child is different and he has some type of a challenge? That does not exempt him from doing the mitzvot. Yeah, of course, according maybe to halacha, is considered a shote or whatever. We're not going to get into that. But why take it away from the neshama? So what if he can't handle it by himself? And what I found interesting about this certain letter is that the Rebbe was referring, whether it was the mother or the father, and saying, that's your shlichut in the world. You have to take care of that neshama. Hashem gave you this neshama, that's your shlichut. Don't go looking around for new adventures. Hashem gave you this neshama to take care of. You take care of this neshama now. You make sure that this neshama gets kosher food and keeps Shabbat and hears Torah and wears tzitzit and does everything. And what I took from that is that we all have a shlichut in this world. Every one of us came down to the world to do some type of a shlichut. Shlichut is an emissary, is a mission. Now when I'm looking at the shlichut, at the mission of my friend, and I'm jealous because he has a better mission, so to say, or he seems like he's doing it better, I'm not focusing on my mission. If I'm looking now at my other neighbor's actions, I'm not focusing on myself. Because I'm busy now looking at that person, and that person, and that person. And so I'm beating the point, I'm missing the point. I came to the world with my mission, I have a talent. We all have talents. There's no such a thing that an individual was brought down to the world and doesn't have a talent. One is a musician, one is an artist, one is a brilliant mind, one is has unbelievable patience. Everyone has talents. And that talent was given to me to utilize it to Avodat Hashem. And if I don't do that, I'm wasting my time. And if I'm now looking outside to my neighbor's courtyard to see what he's doing, then I'm not doing my part. And this is the Shtzinat Chinam. That I'm looking at somebody else. This is kin'ah. Kin'ah is jealousy. Why are you jealous? You're not happy with what Hashem gave you? That's our sages say, Ezo Ashir, who's a real rich person? Hasamech b'chilko, I'm happy with what I have. So what if my child is a little bit wild? So what if I have problems with parnasah? I have to be happy with what Hashem gave me. And if I'm looking outside, oh, it's not fair. This is what I hear the most. It's not fair. This world is not based on fair. So my kids tell me, it's not fair. We're not looking for being fair here. Don't look for fair. There's nothing fair in this world. I have to look inside me. And our sages explain that when we left out of Mitzrayim, the first thing that Hashem told us, Ve'asitim le'migdash ve'shachanti betocham. Hashem says, you build me a sanctuary and I will dwell in you. Amazingly, there's two words that is mentioning here. Mishkan and Mikdash. It's two different things. Mishkan is a temporary tabernacle. That's what they had in the desert. Mikdash is a permanent. That's the difference between Mikdash and Mishkan. But our sages teach us that I have to build a mikdash for the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And only when I build a mikdash, a sanctuary, a holy place, that's when Hashem is going to dwell in me. So if I'm busy looking outside, how am I building my own mikdash? How am I going to build my own holy tabernacle in me that Hashem will dwell in me if I'm busy looking at everybody else and running criticism? So today is the day that we have the opportunity to change the decree in the heavenly court that they will decide that this year we're going to celebrate Tisha B'Av with Beit HaMikdash. Tisha B'Av is a very auspicious day. That's the day Mashiach was born. So Tisha B'Av right now is in the control of the Samech Mem, of the devil, the Satan. He's holding possession of the day. That's why all these bad things can happen on that day. But we want to take it out. We want to get that day back. That's why it says, "La'atid lavo, yamim elu yafchu l'simcha." In the future, this day will turn to a celebration. In the future, Tisha B'Av is going to be a very auspicious day. We're going to have a big party. And today is the day that I can change the heavenly court's mind. This is a very special and auspicious day. And I do it by doing tshuva. But not tshuva right now, but for if I stole something, or if I lied, or if I owe somebody money. That I have to do regardless. I have to do tshuva. Am I holding any sinat chinam in me? Am I hating another Jew or another individual for no reason? So first of all, if I do have a reason, okay. So, Adam tzich la'avir al midotav. A person has to forgive because that person did not do anything. Somebody comes now and hurts me, I should be only upset at myself that I aroused this dog to come and bite me, and that particular person was chosen by a god to be sent to me to sting me. I have no right to be upset at that person right now. I have to completely forgive that person, and my issue right now is between me and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. If the Kadosh Baruch Hu has an issue with me, so he's sending somebody to poke me. But in a more deeper level, I have to do my right cheshbon nefesh if I'm really 100% happy for everybody around me. My friend now gets married, I should be happy for him. My friend now was able to save money to buy a house. I should be genuinely happy for my friend that he was able to buy a home. Unfortunately, in most cases, I'm not happy for my friend that they did something better than me. They were more successful than me. I'm learning every day a page of Gemara. I didn't finish the Shas yet. I have a friend who finishes a tractate every 3 months. What, am I going to be envying him now? No, so he has a good mind. He's remembering it good. He's able to go through it. 12 years I'm learning Gemara. I didn't finish the whole Gemara. What, is that for me now a reason to be upset at somebody that does it? Sits across to me in the yeshiva. He's more smarter than me. I should be genuinely happy that he's able to achieve his shlichut. And my neighbor now builds a bigger home than me. What is this? That's all nonsense. Because somebody has a nicer car or he has a better job. It's really all nonsense. This is the sinat chinam. That I cannot stand the success of my neighbor or my fellow person. And that is the sinat chinam, and this is the tshuva that I have to do today. And as long as we don't correct it, Tisha B'Av is going to remain the day that we mourn the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. And we're going to still stay in exile, and we're going to still fight and battle this exile. And it's just going to go worse and worse and worse. And I have to go out of my limitation and jump out of my body and say, listen, we all want Mashiach. We all want Beit HaMikdash. It's good for everybody. I have to go above my limitations and not to be what's called, to have an Ein Tzara. Ein Tzara is like this, not happy for somebody else, basically. No, evil eyes, Ein Ra'ah. Ein Tzara is that now, you see our neighbors here, they're building. Wow. Building a fancy building, you know, a fancy is going to look. I'm happy, now they're making the whole neighborhood look better. That neighbor is upset, suing them. You're building high, you're blocking my air. This is Ein Tzara. Why are you jealous? Because he has money and he's building a nice house. Let him enjoy. Let him enjoy it. He's making the neighborhood, the value of the homes are going now higher because he's building a nice home. This is this Ein Tzara is a narrow eye that I see. See somebody driving with a nice car, everybody's like, it's probably stolen. He stole the money. He's cheating in business. Why are you so upset? Why are you so jealous? And I'm giving one example out of thousands. Thousands. How many neighbors fight all day long for nonsense? Because your child is more brighter than my child. And so much nonsense. And this is the Sinat Chinam. Don't try to look for a different definition. This is the Sinat Chinam. And this is why we don't have Beit HaMikdash. Because when I'm praying in shul, I know that the guy next to me thinks in his mind, oh, I'm more holy than him because I came 2 minutes before him and I just saw him do like this and like that. And you can feel the energies from people around you. What, you think you're more holier than me because you came 5 minutes before me to the synagogue? Why are you even projecting such a feeling? And sometimes you go to, I mean, you don't feel it maybe, but sometimes I go to different synagogues, I feel like the hate because I look a certain way. Why you hate me? Because I'm dressed a certain way. Because I attach myself to a certain group. Because I follow a certain rabbi. Then you hate me because you don't like that group. This is how stupid, excuse my language, this is how, to what level it comes. To a point that some individual are rejected from certain congregation because they belong to a different group and their coat is a little bit longer and they pronounce the word a little bit different. And people hate you for that. That's how ridiculous the Sinat Chinam goes to. So there's no point of giving more examples. The point is to take from that, that we all carry that. It's some type of a negative poison that belongs to the Samech Mem, to the devil, that he puts it inside of me, that I cannot find 100% happiness in somebody else. And that's the point, the poison that kills me. It eats me alive. Jealousy is the worst attribute, a character trait a person have. It eats the person from inside. That's why it says that it makes the bones rot. It's this jealousy. And in a very refined way, you don't believe in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. You, I'm not saying you, I'm saying you as an individual. If you have jealousy, you really, I'm sorry to tell you, you have a very big lack of belief in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because you think that you deserve more than that person. And if that person has something better than you, that's the will of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's not the will of anybody else. Doesn't mean that he's better. That's what the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. He wants him to have more money or a nicer house or more kids or more success. And lehefech, if somebody has more success, I have to respect that person because it means that in the eyes of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees good in him. Then he gives me more money and more success and more wisdom. Then I have to have somewhat of respect. Oh, it means that Hashem has seen favorably. The Ramban says in the Geret HaRambam that if you see a person that is with Alecha Lechabdo, you have to respect him because Hashem decided to give him money. The point to take from that is to be happy with what I have, to take the advice of our sages, Ezeu Ashir Asamech Bechelko, who is the rich person, the one who's happy with what he has, but not Chelko means his part, but Chelko can also be read your friend's part. You're the part that doesn't belong to you. And this calls in Hebrew, it's called lefargen. Lefargen means to, I don't know, it must be a word in English, that I really am happy for my friend. And I come and I tell him, I'm happy for you. I'm happy that your hard work came to fruition. I'm happy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees good in his eyes and he's blessing you with a wife and kids and parnasa. But the point is to really be happy and not to carry this anger and this jealousy. Why him and not me? This is mamash kfirah b'kadosh b'chu. It's going against the Kadosh Baruch Hu because it's basically saying, I'm not happy with what you're giving me. You gave him more money than me. Which is chutzpah. And it all boils down to one thing. That this is what causes us to be in exile. Because if I'm in my personal exile, I cannot go out of my limitation. Means that I'm limited. Means that I'm in exile. So I'm reflecting this exile, this galut, to the rest of the world, and that's why we're all in exile. And we are in our personal exile, and we, as a result from that, we are in a what's called galut klalin. It's everybody. We know everybody's in this exile. And today, I still have another 5 hours to pray and to do tshuva and to cleanse this, to get it out of me. Ve'biyarta ra mikirbecha. Get rid of this. Get rid of this negativity and this disease. Just get rid of it. And that's the time to arouse the heavenly court to say, we want the Geula, we want Mashiach. Enough is enough. We can't stand this anymore. Nobody stands this anymore. And the thing is that when you hate another person, when you're jealous of another person, it eats you from inside. It eats you like acid from inside. Who needs this headache? It's the opposite of what the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. And it just births negativity and anger and animosity and jealousy and hate and all these bad things. Who needs all this headache? And then they're looking up in Shemaim and they're saying, I'm going to send you the Beit HaMikdash. For you what? For you to hate each other even more? You know, there's a parable, a story that there was once a king and he had one son and he created for him this unbelievable garment. He went to the best tailor. He bought the best fabric. Everything was the best. And he tailored to his son this unbelievable suit. The son was a little boy. He went outside and played, ruined the suit completely. Ripped it to pieces, got dirty and smashed and completely ruined this garment. Okay, the king says, okay, it's a little kid. He doesn't understand. I'll make him another one. This time, I'm going to make it even twice better. And he bought even more expensive fabric and better tailors, and he made an unbelievable garment. Gave it to the kid, and the same thing, the kid goes out and plays and ruins it and rips it and tears it and completely destroys it. The father says, okay, you know, it's a little child. Now I'm going to create another garment. And this time is going to be 100 times better than the second and the first. It's going to be from unbelievable materials, and it's going to have the best tailor's work on it. And he creates this unbelievable garment. And then he comes to his son, he says, you see this garment? I'm not giving it to you this time. I'm hanging it here. And when you learn to behave, and you're going to be mature, and you're not going to go outside and destroy it, then I'll give it back to you. Then it's when you're going to gain it. And this is the parable of our three holy temples. The first temple was beautiful. Hashem gave us the temple. We went and destroyed it. Hashem said, okay, they're children. They don't know what they're doing. Build a nice one. And the second one even was nicer. That was destroyed too. Now Hashem says, okay, I understand. I got the point. And Hashem built the third Beit HaMikdash. The third temple was built in Shamayim. And He's showing it to us. On certain days, He's saying, you see? But I'm not giving it to you. Now, you're going to really, really have to work on yourself. And when you work on yourself, I'll give you the Beit HaMikdash. And today we have the opportunity of actually getting it back. To annulifying the decree. To convincing the heavenly court by saying, we're worthy. We want it. We really want it. Please, this time we're going to do it. We have the opportunity to convince the Kadosh Baruch Hu and mainly the heavenly court to receive the third Beit HaMikdash. But it all depends on us, and it has nothing to do with anything else but Sinat Chinam. This hate and jealousy and animosity and grudge that I'm holding against another person because it seems like he's better than me, smarter than me, more successful than me. And why do I not deserve that? And that's what kills everybody, is what I, why him and not me? So today is the day to diminish myself and to understand that I'm also great in something. I might not be smart like you, and I might not be rich like you, and I might not be an amazing speaker like you, but I have something amazing in me. That's my shlichut. That's what I have to focus on. Mezrat Hashem, if we focus on what we need to do, we will change the opinions of the heavenly court, that this Tisha B'Av will turn to days of happiness. Mezrat Hashem, even before this fast is over, we're going to get to see Beit HaMikdash HaShlishi and have Suda Mafseket in the Holy Temple with Mashiach. And Bezrat Hashem, just for our own sake and happiness, is just learn to accept things how they are and be happy for everybody and be happy for everybody around me, my kids, my parents, my sometimes it goes into families. Siblings are jealous from each other. I mean, sometimes you see parents, they're upset, the child is more successful. It goes to disgusting places. And really what it creates separations and hate and anger. Who needs it? We don't need it. So Bezalel Hashem, today we will reach that day that we can overpower this darkness and go out of our limitations. And Bezalel Hashem, Bemet, this Tisha B'Av will be a day of happiness. And we should merit to see the coming of the third Beit HaMikdash, the coming of Mashiach, and Bezalel Hashem, we should only know good.